Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
Wednesday evening. Time for another effort to make the sacred cows get a little nervous and make ice cream. Good evening and welcome to Soul Tree Radio and the Mall. I'm your host, Michael Rosting, DJ Honeycomb. And as always, it is good to be with you. Soul Tree Radio, proudly sponsored by BASNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good stuff, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now at www.BASNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, many of whom were with me Saturday, and I want to just say thank you to everybody and much love. We are totally blessed. And how many times can you say no to prime rib, as Elba would say? right with me is Mr. Biggs himself, who I was going to challenge to a match race with wheelchairs. But I can't say chicken out. It was withdrawn up for later. Anyway, Gary Norris Gray, Bad Man from East Bay. What's up, brother? And thank you so much.
You're welcome, brother. Congratulations. Hope you have a peaceful, happy life.
Thank you.
I know how it is, brother. Keep it going. Keep it going.
We will do our very best. Gary, let me ask you. When's the last time you were at a sporting event or wanted to go to a sporting event and you said to yourself, damn, I'm just dying to go? And somebody dies with you. Now, like you say, MLB has a problem. Before they had a problem getting noticed because basketball and football was passing them by. But now, they need to be on the lookout for something else. They need to be on the lookout for a better way to draw fans. And they need to be on the lookout for the motherfucker that did the shooting at the baseball game last Saturday. Now,
Michael, America has lost its damn mind, as you say.
It has. They lost their buddy and break a mind.
We are in a very serious situation. I would not go to a game where any conflict involved. I mean, example, Raiders, Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
I'm not going.
I hate you.
Raiders and 49ers. I'm not going.
It's funny you say that because the league has a silent memo about that. The Raiders and the Niners have been engaging in their own little tongue war for a long time. And whenever they play, it's not a matter of the teams. It's the fans.
Yep.
It's the fans they got to worry about. So they have
Michael, 2 years ago, the Raiders and Niners played.
Mm-hmm.
They were 54 fights.
Yeah.
54 fights.
That's all?
21 arrests.
Yeah.
Okay.
Claim yep. And Tony was right. That's all. So
Mike, the real question is, was this before, during, or after the game?
It was before
the game. There were 54 fights.
This is before the game started.
Well,
that gives all the
when you consider. Well, you know what? When you consider that there are 53 men on each roster, it's like, oh my. But, you know, to go old school here a little bit, and I've said this several times on several different shows and venues and what have you, Mm-hmm. Whether you hate him or love him, Howard Cosell was one of the things that Howard Cosell railed about back in the day, as far back as the late 70s, early 80s, fan violence.
That's
fan
true.
Violence. And see, now, a lot of people poo-poo it and say, oh, no, we're not like those soccer hooligans over in those other countries.
Yeah,
you're right. They're crazier here. You know, it's a coin the phrase from a movie, that's a whole new kind of crazy.
Gentlemen, I thought about this about 5 years ago. I thought about this when 45 became president. I'm thinking, okay, now this guy is in the White House. I was afraid somebody was going to take a gun out and shoot an athlete while he's playing the game. That's so afraid of now.
Well, you know what? The incident involving the White Sox had to do with a female.
Females,
rather. But the female was one brandishing the weapon and firing shots. Into the crowd. Now, as of 10 hours or so ago, they're trying to say that there was no gun. There was no gun, so there was no crime. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You know, what else are they going to say?
I believe that the security, okay, when we first started going to games, there were no metal detectors at the gates.
Right.
I've been to Oakland. Oakland was the last team to put metal detectors on a gate. Last team in the league, the last one. They didn't want to do it.
They had to do it. You know what's really interesting here, and Mike, I don't know if you got the information that I was sending last night, and here's the funny thing. Well, I don't know if you call this funny. Apparently, the two women involved are teachers in the Chicago City. They're teachers in the Chicago City Education Department.
I love it. Why can't
Now, according to, and I want to get the source correct, this is NBC 5 out of Chicago, and also ABC 7 out of Chicago, and USA Today. Apparently one of the women basically brought in an unsealed gun, and you beat me to it. It's like, why are you bringing a gun an athletic event? First of all, that's number one. But also, apparently, apparently as the police department is trying to cover this up. Apparently, what wound up, being a long story short, from what I was able to handle from the stories and everything like that, the gun was mistakenly discharged. So basically, she pulled a Plaxico Burress, except she didn't shoot herself in the butt, from what we can gather here. Now, this incident happened. This incident happened for Friday night's game against the soon-to-be Las Vegas Athletics.
Right.
At the White Sox Stadium. I forget the corporate name. I'm not going to give them any free publicity. But when stuff happened, the consortium between the Chicago Police Department, and the Chicago White Sox. Basically, put the kibosh on everything. It wasn't reported in a lot of major media places. Just only like in like Chicago and the surrounding areas. I actually found out about it as I was coming down to your place on Friday, and we all started talking more about it, like, I think later on that night and over the weekend. So what this basically, you know, now here's the thing. The police report on this has yet to be released. As of 9:16 Eastern time on a Monday night, the police report for this whole thing has yet to be officially released. Now, remember, this happened on a Friday night in Chicago. Now, think about this. Whenever there is, say, now again, I'm not the police department. I don't play a policeman on radio, TV, or the internet. But say you have a car accident on a Friday. Now, granted, it's the weekend and whatever. More than likely, you are going to get that accident report by, say, Monday, maybe Tuesday. But it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I don't know if there's different particulars that have to happen when there's a gun involved or what have you, but I find it very strange that something like this, which was literally and figuratively poo-pooed by the local and national media, the fact that the police report, as far as we know, unless it's been released within the last few hours or so, the police report on this incident has yet to be released. Now here are some incredible ironies. You know, we talk about fan violence. Arguably, one of the most notorious fan violence incidents happened at the old Comiskey Park. Of course, Disco Demolition back in 1979, I believe it was 79 or 78. Also, the Chicago Police Department has had a history of covering up certain things. If you remember the shooting a few years ago for Mr. McDonald, they deliberately held that video for a year and literally released it like midnight on a Thursday or what have you.
And they offered the mom $5 million sight unseen.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, we were speculating, and you know, when we were going over this the other night, we were speculating, and it got me. And after I found out that they were two teachers from the city of Chicago, it even fueled even more fact that they're trying to cover up what may or may have not happened. I think there's a gag order. I think that the women that were involved, I think they've been said, don't say anything. Don't whatever, but thankfully there are some media folks that were able to investigate and what have you. And ironically, there was a doctor nearby, because apparently the shooting happened in the center field bleachers. Because see, here's the thing: early on, we were never told. First of all, they tried to say it was outside of the stadium, number one. Mm-hmm. Two, they sort of dragged their feet and said, well, there wasn't a gun involved. Well, number two. And also, it sounds like just from GP that there wasn't even a precautionary thing of should we allow should be evacuate the stadium, because, and again, this is according to the Chicago Police Department, they did not want to cause a riot, so to speak. And I go back and forth on that, but see, here's my thing, and I'm going to use another sport and something that happened that we're all familiar with and we saw happen live on Monday Night Football last year, and that was the unfortunate incident with Jamar Hamlin on Monday Night Football. Now, mind you, the NFL was like, we need to finish this game out. And if it was not for the players and the coaches, they would have tried to finish that game. And see, because in their mind's eyes, did anybody die? Okay. No. Get your ass back out there, basically.
Uh-huh.
And in a sense with this, it was like, did anyone die? No. Okay. Damn game. But see, and look, I can hear the comics saying, "Oh, it was just an A's White Sox game. Who cares? Because there's only six people at the game." But that's not the point here. That's not the point here. To go back to what Gary has said, and what we've all said, what's going to wind up happening here? And again, I go back to what Cosell said. He didn't come right out and say it, but it's going to take someone getting killed before something will happen. And it shouldn't come down to that. But we're living in this, you know, sports is bigger than life, bigger than God mentality here. This is why something like this happened. And see, the sad thing, now, it's also interesting because, and I brought it up to your attention, Mike, the other night.
Mm-hmm.
In Colorado earlier this week, Ronald Acuna was basically attacked by fans in the Braves game at Colorado. Mm-hmm. Now, they tried to make it out like, oh, they came on there to hug him. Now look. You know, before we even start getting into genders or what have you, here's the thing. He's a player. You're a fan. Your ass should not be on the field in a game at all. There is absolutely, positively no excuse for them to run on the field, no matter how much you're a fan of Acuna, no matter how much of a whatever you had, you know, but see, here's the thing. Now, luckily, and it must be stressed, luckily, these folks didn't, on the surface, appear to try to harm Acuna.
Yep.
But I can't invoke the Butt Sisters more than in this.
I know that.
There have been way too many, when you realize the racial climate in this country, when you realize, you know, how people feel about non-white athletes making X amount of money and thriving, you know, cannot condone anything like this. I hope that whatever, I hope at the very least, these guys should never be allowed to get into a major league ballpark again. That's the least that should happen. Go ahead.
In terms of the overall ugliness, the human factor has made this thing, has degraded it into an even worse condition. I mean, just think about what the human factor was 50 years ago. All right, Hank Aaron hits home run 715, rounds the bases. These two white boys come the fuck out of nowhere.
That's right.
Pat him in the back. You know, say somebody had come and hit a home run, broke a record. Say Ohtani, who is really he's going balls to the walls with records for a seasonal play. Some asshole comes out of nowhere. Nobody can stop him. Nobody wants to stop him. Or nobody does stop him. And they try to harm him. It's like, what the fuck? And we got to go back to the initial point with the two ladies. As my brother Reggie would say, what in the ham sandwich possessed this bitch to come out with a fucking firearm and use it in a baseball game. And I say, because one person was grazed in the stomach, another one was hit elsewhere, and they recovered a slug. Now, unless my reporting is inaccurate, it's like there are too many questions and not enough answers. And if Chicago's not talking, nobody else seems to want to talk. You know, we got a genuine mess here, and I'll just say it. All right, it's the NFL season. Bears are down. Somebody's got a shitload of money on the game. I mean, a shitload of money on the game. They got to cover. And the wide receiver breaks open at 20. Looks like nobody's going to touch him. And then out of nowhere, pow, just like the three shots ringing from the book depository, he's down. They catch up to him. He's fucking dead. You know, it seems like it sounds like it's impossible, but it's not. It's getting to that point because this guy stood to lose thousands of dollars and all kinds of scenarios come into play. If the point spread stays a certain way, it ain't crazy, and it's very possible. Major League Baseball, the longer they sleep on it, the bigger the opportunity that the NFL or the NBA gets to wake up to a fucking scandal. We got Eric Satterwhite with us, and Eric, you know, somebody's pointing a gun, firing in the stadium. You got supposed guards, security people watching. There's supposedly cameras all over the place. How come they didn't nail this motherfucker who did this, even if it was an accident?
Well, yeah, thank you. What's happening to, you know, the brothers, you know, on the mic. So listening to, you know, what T-Mac was running down and, you know, getting a drop on the story, I mean, you know, first of all, this weaponry was, you know, smuggled into the stadium under a woman's belly fat, right? So, you know, her, you know, to those who like things like that sumptuous body, you know, had the strap, right? And so every, you know, person associated with White Sox security, that's a myth because there's no such thing as White Sox security. First of all, you know, I mean, it sounds like, you know, cats and, you know, these CEOs, right, who get gained by the brothers, you know, the people doing time to bring, you know, to get the cell phones in, right, to bring in the narcotics, and then they get their cut, right? So, you know, I mean, obviously it was a lax event in terms of the security purposes. It's very difficult, you know, with heat-seeking technology measuring weight, you know, to move, you know, metallic arts, you know, through there. It's kind of similar to the TSA line, right? You know, you're going to go take a flight, and they got the wands and everything to kind of, you know, check it down. So there is no such thing as, you know, White Sox security, first of all. And everyone affiliated. I have a brother, you know, who I grew up with. He's currently the head security officer at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, right? And also with the Atlanta Hawks. You know, so he's there for all the national championship events, bowl events, you know, Falcon home games, you know, all that, you know. And so, you know, he can be kicking it with Lee Corso of the game or watch Saban warm up, you know, Bama, or, you know, watch the Falcon security play. But he runs that whole security detail at Mercedes-Benz. You know, so y'all, we got the family everywhere, right? So we get drops on everything if need be, right? Because we got the right positions. And so when you understand, you know, the security principles and protocols, before getting into the assholes that were in the stands who did that, put a lot of people at risk, that all falls down on Chicago White Sox. So who's the dude? Reinsdorf? He's the owner, right?
He also runs the Bulls.
Jerry Reinsdorf, right?
Yeah.
He's the one that brought his boy LaRusa back at 92 years old. You know, and so the thing is, there's no security. It's all a failing of white. Now, one thing I got to really point this out, too. I challenge anyone or suggest to anyone, all you have to do, whatever social media account you like, you know, or if you like TikTok, if you like YouTube, if you like Twitter, any of these social media, all you have to do is go into the search engine and go stadium fights. And you'll spend your next 20 years watching stadium fights. So this is nothing new. This is just a firearm. But people are getting broken off, beat up all the time at every venue of these games. It's always something jumping off. Most recently, there was a Raider Niner incident in Santa Clara, California.
We mentioned that. Yep, we did.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But that was off center. But there was a time where at Dodger Stadium, you know, some Giant fans just got beat.
Killed
at the stadium.
Killed.
So those are the prime stories. I'm here to share. This is 24/7.
Yeah.
Across, as long as you're serving alcohol and people are betting, and they're going to have a beef, and you got people literally sitting in the stands, they're paying more. They're paying more attention to every play, more than Belichick would if he was actually coaching the game, because they got money on the line, and they're losing it, so they're following everything. So if there's one fan in there, and these people are not stable, who's like cheering for the opposite team as a pure fan, loves his team, shows up with his jersey on, and you know, on a road trip. I don't know why these fans instigate like that. Why would you want to wear, you know, a Bengals jersey if they're playing, you know, the Raiders right in the middle of Vegas? And you got 90% of these people that bet on the game, unless they're underage, because they can place the bet and then go to the game, right? I mean, you know, they got it made like that. So, in other words, be it the Aces of the WNBA or the hockey team, the A's will get there. People are sitting there literally with money on the line as they sit there watching this shit or placing their bets, you know what I mean, or odds, seeing how it all plays out. Because they can actually go, they can place bets on stuff like how many 3-2 counts will this batter get during the course of a game.
Not to cut you off before you go on. You bring up an excellent point. Everybody in the stadium got money on the game. This is not a question of five here, 10 there, a prop bet here, a prop bet there. You go into an NFL stadium, motherfuckers have bet money on the game. And the only difference between now and 50 years ago is that they allow it. And nobody cares anymore because it's too much money to care. They can't stop the flow. And
Mike, to that point, you got guys wearing helmets who have placed bets.
Hell yeah.
And maybe the coaching staff, too.
The NFL, NCAA will not control its players' betting. That is travesty. You can't have that.
There is no control. There is no control. Because you can go to the middleman. I mean, guys, they're not stupid, right? So, in other words, you got, you know, and that's how they got into, what's his name, Donahue, the referee, right? That's how they got into them. They go through liaisons. They go through links. So, hey, man, you know, for, you know, I'm not going to use a real name first because I don't want to besmirch nobody, you know, but, you know, I will say this, that, you know, we'll use us ourselves as an example, so, since we don't link up like that. If what's the Monday night game? You know, or the Sunday night game, or the first game, Lions Chiefs, right?
Lions Chiefs are next Thursday night.
Okay, yeah, Lions Chiefs. So in other words, T-Mac knows the defensive back coach, you know, and there's a safety on the squad that we don't know what's going to happen to the game. So we've seen something interesting with Saban recently where he didn't release his depth chart. That's about betting.
Mm-hmm.
That's about fucking protecting from the betting bullshit. So if this safety can't go, yo, T-Mac, I'm the guy. I got some money on the line. KC got really good receivers. They got Mahomes, this defensive back that's going to be out to all-pro safety. You know, he's going to make it some plays, make some difference. But if he can't go, and it's a question mark until they put out the injury report, and I get the scoop he ain't playing – to game day, then that may change my spread point thing because, hey, they're going to be missing their top safety.
No,
I can play
to effect. That's how this shit flows.
Eric, that's why they changed. Remember, 5 years ago, you had to announce who was playing, who was not playing. Wednesday night, you had to announce who was playing, who was not playing for that weekend.
And right now, it's still, but of course it does, but see, it's still straight. It's like if you're a kicker, right? And this is a team that can't punch it in. Can't, you know, I mean, come on, we can do the math. I mean, I'm real good as a minimalist. I play and collect and loot to the point it's kind of scary to people who know me because you're looking at the team's personality and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a team, like, that's relying on their kicking game, correct, because they don't punch it in, the coach is super conservative, and we get the report that the kicker's got a strained hamstring. To the average person not paying attention, that's just like, okay, no biggie. He'll be out there kicking. But shit, if he can't kick the 55-yarder because his hamstring's tight, which he's money for, but we know, and then we look at his statistics, and he's kind of, what, 50%, you know, 50 yards out, got a tight hamstring, and now they got to go for 55 at the end of the game, and the way this other team plays, they play it close. That's just the equation. So if you know the special team coach, and you reach out to the special teams coach through fourth, and my cousin's sister, brother's married to the special teams coach, and he told him over breakfast, it's going to be real tough for this kicker to get his leg going by then, but they're hoping he can come by, and they didn't get a backup kicker. That's it. It's the same thing that happened with Mahomes when they lost to Tampa Bay, and they had no backup offensive lineman, and it just destroyed them. Chiefs did not score a touchdown. That team did not score a touchdown, which almost looks like a fix. But, fuck, if you ain't got no offensive line and the brothers blitzing every play, Mahomes was running for his life. I don't care how good he is. He had no one blocking. He got killed that game. I'm surprised he came back the way he did, the way they beat his ass that game.
Exactly. We were throwing passes that we were surprised they were actually in the neighborhood and they were hitting their target.
Yeah.
They didn't catch them, but they were hitting their targets. You also leave open the game to syndicates. Now, in horse racing, when pots get big, like a pick four or pick six, the money groups up and X number of people get together and they just simply on volume bet against the possibility of X number of combinations winning the races. Most times they hit it, but they wait for the pot to get nice and fat. They'll be able to do that.
And you're 100% correct. Yeah, keep going, man.
Football, man. They'll be able to do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the – how much money would if the four of us here, right, you know, hypothetical shit again. We love talking hypothetical, but it's based on real stuff. If we place $25 bet each that the Kansas City Chiefs was not going to score a touchdown with that offense and the way they were getting down that year in the Super Bowl, they went to Tampa Bay and just gutted Tampa Bay. Remember that? Cheetah went ape shit. I mean, they had like, I don't know, TD plays of more than 40 yards, like, you know, multiple maybe. I don't know. They had a lot of big plays, and they blew Tampa Bay off the coast. Now, okay, so they circle back and play Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl, same stadium, same field, no offensive line. So we say, okay, you know, based on I don't know, I think the Chiefs probably the top offense at the time. And we put up 25 of them. The odds probably that someone saying that the Chiefs will not score a touchdown. We probably may have jacked, you know, a couple of foul off a $100 bet based on the fact no one, the odds have been so unlikely and so favorable to us that we were crazy enough to say the Chiefs were going to score a touchdown. And they did.
Exactly.
Somebody got broken the fuck off who made that bet.
Now that would have been called in the parlance a tease. You know, to bring the sucker money in and then drop the hammer.
Right.
You know? I got Professor Fred with us as well. And Professor Fred, good evening, first of all. And glad to see you. And I was curious about what are they going to do with so-called sports entertainment when there's just so much money at stake, people can't ignore it. And good evening.
Good evening. I hope it's not storming where you all are. It is here. You know, it's interesting. As we watch, or we've watched over the last 20, 30 years, where guys and now girls are getting paid more per game than they used to get paid per year.
Yep.
Now, I know that even back then in the 60s and 70s, you know, the Roney family bought the Steelers for literally pocket change. And that's pretty much what I say a good third or better of the early team went for was pocket change. Now, if you're not a billionaire, you can't even talk about buying a team or buying a piece of a team, really. And you got to then what do you have to do? You got to go get a bunch of almost billionaires and put a plug them in. And it shows how much money is out there. I don't know about you guys. You all know that I'm still a fan. But I'm not going to pay $100 for a shirt. It's just just a bit better than a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just ain't going to do it. You buy a cap.
$200 for a ticket.
A baseball cap.
You got to be out of your mind.
I mean, it's ridiculous. But because people are gullible enough to pay it. I'm an American and I'm a capitalist. If they don't have to pay it, take their money. And unfortunately, so many of the ones who are giving up the money are the ones that ain't got it. You know, I met this young man a few years ago. He's bragging about all the Nike shoes he had and all this kind of stuff, right? And I'm thinking, it's too bad. His shoes are on like 8s or 9s because he's a little bitty dude. But he had let his teeth rot out. He, you know, just he wouldn't go to the doctor. And he was always talking about how many pairs of Nike shoes he had and this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking, when he did die, it was like a swap meet with his relatives. And and even intelligent people are doing this kind of stupidity. And I'm also a fan of HBCUs, and I can remember people a few years ago were complaining about $20 to go to a ball game. Mm-hmm. Now they'll pay. You can't sneak food in no more, except at the Superdome, and I figured that one out. You pay $50, $60 for a single ticket, the whole family going, so you're going to get just like an easy $300. Plus, you got to buy food.
Yep.
A hot dog, you can get a Happy Meal with a hot dog and whatever at McDonald's somewhere for $7 or $8. You go there, you pay $7 or $8 just with a hot dog, not to mention $3 or $4 for a soda. And there's so much money at play. Because we have people out there who have pushed the envelope enough that nowadays people are gullible enough to pay it and think it's okay. Out of fact,
well, fans mm-hmm. is a shortening of the word fanatics. Fanatics is not a positive terminology.
That's a positive way to put it, because I look at it and say, you know, there's a great measure that's called fool.
Fanatic is anyone who's obsessed with anything to the point of saying it's a form of obsession. And these sports fans know they got it. That's why they got to market it. They got to have these multiple programs. The moment that when the pandemic hit, right, and the pandemic showed and you could not see these programs, they were off. No one missed the shit, right, because it was off air. It was way down in terms of its viewership, its marketing ship. People found other things to do. right?
Well, not just that.
It's never not just that. It was just an example of how when you push this initiative, like these sports writers who write these puff pieces, right? Everyone has done journalism of some form. And they'll do a puff piece where every time they talk about an athlete, it's a rah-rah sis-coom-bah, right? Oh,
right.
They contributed this. Oh, they're doing that. Oh, if you mimic him, he'll be this. Oh, if you – it's all puff piece crap, which is not real, right? And so the real hardcore ones who will call it like it is and push the real agenda, they always have more longevity. But you got to – they hire these puff pieces. The NFL mandates you have five people sitting with James Brown every Sunday morning on that television. The NFL mandates you'll have at least six people from Fox, you know, sitting there talking this game. You know what I mean? So, in other words, they pay to keep yourself in the public eye. The NBA as well. All these leagues have to do that because it's not the top persona for many people. You know what I mean? And that's why we look at these baseball games. They're really empty as hell. Most Sunday stadiums or NFL games are not filled. They're not 100% capacity.
But they're not at 100% capacity. But all through the game, what are you going to hear? Oh, this is such a great crowd.
Right, right. And the camera
and
angles
you,
are poor.
And you have these talking heads who are constantly pushing the envelope about, oh, we got a great crowd here. And I'm thinking, you know,
you're right.
Being that I usually sit in the press box, I have that kind
you
of view. And a good case in point. For those who don't know, Jackson State has been playing in a professional size field for the last 20-some years, 20-30 years. So when I go to Grambling versus Jackson State, it's practically a sellout. Really?
No, it isn't.
It's a 69,000-seat it had, I would say, a good 40, 45, maybe twinging towards 47, 5.
Mm-hmm.
But ironically, you know, you look at the end zone, you know, press box, you got a good view of everything except what's above your head. So I figured there must be a whole asshole full of people sitting above our head because I'm looking across at the opposite side. Now, and we were talking about Jackson State and Grambling. They turn out. They travel well. You want them, you know, they go to New York or wherever. But I'm saying there's an awful lot of people here disguised as empty seats.
This time. You know
and
what?
There were people, and people were rolling their eyes at me. Like, I was crazy. And the only crazy thing I did was drive all the way down and have to drive all the way back. Because as we're experiencing here, it's this thing called a hurricane. The one that year, I forget the name of it, but I know they told us they couldn't get us a flight out, or couldn't guarantee us a flight out. So what we hop in the car and drive. But the one time I missed more and I disagreed on something, and I wanted to choke him, but. I went through with it and made it back. But, you know.
It's a huge, real quickly to that phrase, to stay on that attendance thing, it's a huge myth about, you know, the state. I mean, Michigan State and Michigan football crushed anything the Lions could ever do attendance-wise. University of Tennessee, University of Georgia. What happens in Roseville? College football crushes stadium attendance in comparison to the National Football League. Landslide. It's the TV money.
Well,
contracts that carry the National Football League and the betting.
Yeah.
And they got to go strong with the betting. You know what I mean? So, in other words, Saturday in America, because of all the different cities like Iowa, all these local Texas university, you know, for the Gators, you know, just go across the country, Oregon, wherever they may be, Washington, they sell the fuck out. You know, landslide all the time. You know what I mean? They fill it up. It's a different kind of brand. It's a different game. But they push the envelope. And the NFL, their money stream is, like you mentioned, the merch and the TV contracts, because they get these huge TV contracts. With Amazon weighing in, that was a big, big pill there. But Amazon got it good, because guess what? Every advertising on Amazon is Amazon. I mean, so they don't have to find an advertiser. Amazon is the advertiser and the broadcaster. You know what I'm saying? So and then YouTube weighing in, the NFL had to go out and get all these streaming, wisely so, intelligently so, get these, you know, streaming services, YouTube, they get Amazon, then they got the NBC, the CBS, and the ESP, and the Fox. That's their cream. And that's not stadium attendance.
You still have to wonder one
secret that the bigger colleges have is they can literally give away tickets, because they have, you know, in most cases, they have this group of people sitting around called other students who can't afford.
Yeah.
But when they have to and they want the seats filled, well, they can fill the seats.
Well, right. I mean, 100K, when you can get 100K at Michigan, Chrysler, every weekend, Tennessee, 100K every home game, that's 200K in two games, right? So you take four NFL teams, home games, averaging 50K to compete with two states. And that's just two states. So in other words, the paid attendance, they also got the TV money as well. So when you start looking at the stacking order, the real rip-off and the ultimate get-off over is CFB, college football.
Yes, no joke. It's all about the gate.
Thank you.
And when the gate is full, nobody got nothing to say.
Cool.
The split. It's 60 for you, 40 for me. And they got no complaints about it. But I got to get back to the shooting, because how can they bury the whole premise of the story? Tony, they saw, or they should have seen, from the cameras, there should be cameras all over the fucking stadium. They would have seen every angle. They would have traced it from where the shot came from. Somebody said center field bleachers. Somebody said right field bleachers. It doesn't matter where they saw it. If they heard it, they can trace it. If they saw the crowd reaction, they can trace it. There's a whole lot of much to do about nothing, and I'm wondering why. Is it because nobody died or because nobody tried?
All of the above, unfortunately. I think, I almost feel sorry for the security folks at these games, because they're not even, they're probably barely making minimum wage. And what's going to wind up happening is, when this is all said and done, they're going to be made the fall persons for this.
Yep.
Because,
that's a guarantee, T-Mac.
And see, here's the thing. What did we hear all during 9/11? You see something, say something. And, we've got to be more vigilant and all this other stuff. And it's just lip service. It's just lip service,
Well, the city of Chicago, a.k.a. Chirac. It's just another reflection of Chirac. We're seeing the just collapse, of what's taking place with the law enforcement scenario any and everywhere. There was such a push to, demilitarize the cops, defund the police force, and all these kind of scenarios like this because of the incidents that happened across the country. But I tell you what, if something's popping off at anyone's peers, home, and, they're not strapped up, and then they hit that 911 call and those lights start flashing down the street, there's a purpose for that, And if that you minimize those things and these interactions, it's so damn counterproductive. These larger cities we see in New York, San Francisco, Oakland, Gary, you know what's happening out there. I mean, they're just bum rushing shit.
It's
trash. I mean, these large cities are virtually unmanageable, all exposed by the pandemic. Oh, and you're right, T-Mac. I mean, these guys, someone's coming through, and, you live in the city of Chicago. I mean, like you said, you're living in the West Side. And, you know, you dime somebody out that was part of that. You don't know who they're affiliated with and shit. And yeah, retaliation's like a guarantee.
Eric, this is another thing about this. It really bothers me. Now, we can control the drug dealer if we really want to. We don't want to. We can control the gang bang, but we don't want to. See, we are letting it happen, and nobody saying, hey, cut it out. Nobody say that.
Well, in our communities, you know, where these kind of things predominate, I mean, there's places in Los Angeles, like literally, there's this whole segment that's just, you know, known as, you know, a Crip. And they literally run it, you know, and you push up and say, and everyone just accepts it as part of the natural environment there. And it's just what it is because, you know, it's really a feeding zone. I think they had this crazy movie out. Remember there was a movie that came, I can't remember the name, but it was about where every night for 4 hours, the way police don't work. You know what I mean? You know, there's no law enforcement. And everyone's
The purge.
So in other words, they were setting the president. Oh, sure, it's just a coincidence, right? They make a movie like that, then we see 20 people all over the country, you know, bum rush the store, take all the things out, don't care, you know, because we lax the laws down on certain things. So the purge is happening as we speak.
Yep.
And these are just reflections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the working title for that movie was also January 6th, but I can't prove that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, you know what? You just hit it. That was, people watch that shit. They go, oh, we can overwhelm. They can't get us. Oh, well, the federal government can get them all. To Gary's point, they've been chasing these MFs down all over the place, shutting them down, no flies, everything. But they can't, you know, stop these scenarios. You know, it's hard. I mean, Chicago, I mean, you can't rule out the political part of that as well based on what's happening in Chirac, too. And sometimes they use a, you know, situation like this to just augment, you know, just how it's, you know, allegedly so out of control and create more of a fear factor. Who wants to go to a White Sox game now?
Nobody should want to. You got Patrick Run, Nick.
Put that TV on. Turn that TV off.
Yeah, thank you,
is that
you,
the
guys.
Gremlins coming through again because of the cop?
I'm telling you.
More gremlins?
How you doing, guys? What's up, fellas? Good to hear from everybody.
What's up, man?
What are the gremlins playing? Reruns of the Flintstones?
Really?
Whatever's on bounce.
Right.
You got photos, you got camera angles, all that's there. Why haven't they come up with who the hell the babies were, even if they had, or even if they didn't have weapons with them? They could say where the shot came from. They could provide intel. And all of a sudden, nobody know nothing.
Hey, Mike, the way you described that real quick, it sounds like Dealey Square and the Kennedy assassination.
Fuck yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. Don't nobody know nothing. It's embarrassing.
See, that's like the old TV show where the sergeant never knew anything.
Yep.
Hogan's Hero, I know nothing.
I know nothing.
I know nothing, nothing, nothing.
That's right.
And see, here's how bad it got with some of this stuff. Okay, I got a phone call. You say, are you watching that stuff? What's going on TV? No,
yeah.
I was working that day, so no.
Turn
the TV on. Okay, what mean is this? Here we have a bunch of people, mostly white folks, running into the Capitol building and all that kind of stuff going, and all the stuff that I think I saw as this was going down. Well,
right.
This is how bad it's gotten. You see, Reggie and I go back and forth about this, and I tell him, it's not just one party. It's a belief system that exists within both parties because you got a bunch of old white men. And I asked recently, who? I mean, why was I so against the president? I'm not against him. I'm against. We do not need another old white man that was born before World War II. We just don't need him. We need new ideas. And this will help break into that ongoing thing where you still get the same stuff, no matter who's in office, they just call it tomato or tomato. It's the same thing.
We need a third and fourth, like in Europe, they have America refuses to have third and fourth parties. And the reason why, we go right back to the reason again, it's all about the money.
It's about the stupidity, because the most basic equation of physics, if you can't solve a problem at the same level of how it was committed, so all these people involved are the problem makers. They'll never, ever be able to solve something that they are part and parcel to. Impossible.
Exactly.
Basic physics. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you got a short order cook that can't scramble an egg, and then you send them to a culinary school thinking they're going to scramble the egg. They just got more fanciful of how they can screw up scrambling an egg. They don't have the capacity. So Fred is 100%. So if you see the same faces, it's the same capacity. This is a $1 trillion budget these people manage into debt. At what point in time, I mean, you have a person with 30 potential indictments. I don't know how many at this point. It's hilarious to even look at this shit. And yet he leaves.
And
voters, how asinine are these people? Money won't solve that. You have a person literally. And the only beauty about this is seeing the shift change is that who would ever thought 5 years ago, 10 years ago, definitely 10 years ago, maybe 20 for sure, people who lived that generation, that there would be people who are considered African Americans prosecuting and indicting and booking a former president of the United States? No way. But it's happened twice in New York. It happened in Georgia. Fulton County Prison is very, very black in its makeup. And they had a president of the United States get fingerprinted and mugshot. It's a shift. This shit is changing, and there's signs there. Follow these old paradigms of party. I mean, you're dead. Look at what's happening here at that level. People who can see it. I just sit back and go, it doesn't matter what anyone of us saying here. The shift is here, and it's ongoing. So what they talk about, what they parlay, all that's falling to the wayside. They're just the front men. Underneath that's a heavy current of change.
Yep. It's about
and knowing how these people work, I'm most surprised we haven't seen dead bodies yet.
Well,
you know what?
That's coming next.
I'm waiting for that.
Gentlemen, there were 18 defendants, right? 18 defendants.
Somebody right now in this country has a friend that they grew up around, played in the park, you know, shit, may have sat around, watched a couple of black sitcoms, you know what I'm saying, joked, hit a barbecue up and shit, went to an Al Green concert. You know what I'm saying? And that family member that came up, went through there, got educated, prosecuted, and book the president of the United States from a so-called wealthy family.
Yep.
That shit's unheard of. Those are the things that are so overwhelmingly, evidently visible. Book, we need to fingerprint, book his ass, and get him lined up, put him in the can for a little, and you got to follow the law. See, that's one thing about the Eagles. You know, this country. If you roll it out right and know how to really get your mackle on, you can do shit like that because you're moving on a different level. All these other things and these roadmaps leading to
these other thought processes, man, the shift is here, man. I mean, you know, no one would ever thought, like, the person they had shared eighth grade math class was going to book a person in the United States when they got their law degree. They passed out of it.
Well,
no one's seen it from that twist.
I'm waiting for a headline to hit, and it could hit football season, basketball season, hockey season. It don't matter. Somebody is going to either threaten a player, kill a player, or kill himself over money they bet or lost a bet from playing professional sports. You know, they've made the atmosphere too ripe for trouble by making sure that you can bet, and that you can bet as much as you want. You know, they've got some betting services that will even allow you a bullshit bet. Just make a bet any old bet. We don't care if you're going to lose. We're going to guarantee you after that, you're on your own. But they set your ass up. I mean, that's enabling. That's like giving somebody the crack vials full immunity to the sport. I don't feel no one will stop it once it starts. The problem is, it is going to start, and it's not going to stop.
Well, players feel that pressure right now, right? So if an offensive lineman I'm on bouncing here real quick on the reality that I didn't bounce out as fast as I can, but just to convey what you're saying to your point, if you're an offensive lineman, backup offensive, well, not fucking, you are pro offensive lineman for any NFL team, I won't specifically categorize one, and you do an illegal motion penalty that puts your team out of field goal range that costs bettors millions, and you're on one of these social media accounts, your DM, your direct message is getting bombarded with calls and messages on how you effed up, you dumb MF-er. And that's just doing the human mistake of going, you know, in your position and backpedaling before the snap. And you
that's
lost
right.
people money. Yeah, you should have. You lost them some money. You're going to get bombarded. So the other thing about having these exposures for athletes in these social media paradigms, you miss a free throw. Oh, you're getting it. And then here comes the memes dogging you out, left, right, front, and center. You know what I mean? So in other words, no, these athletes are facing that right now. They go out there every Sunday on someone's fantasy football player list, right? And they're going out there every day with money
that's
on the line, and they watch everything. You drop a pass over the middle. Oh, my God. Imagine Jackie Smith against the Steelers when he missed that pass in today's social media world.
Here's the issue, Eric, and everybody else, ma'am. Most of the players, and at this point, I'm under understanding they've been sufficiently programmed, understand how it works. There's a thing called algorithms.
Yeah.
Algorithms are worse than AI on everybody, and everybody from the janitor in the clubhouse to the president to the owner. Of course, they won't get the players first. That's the first thing. The second thing is the fact that I said this a long time ago, and it's true. The bigger volume of financial of this the betting in these sports, the more the government is involved to find somebody to make them look good that we got them.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
we get our cheer. So for somebody said, like the guy from good Ohio State with the Alabama got drifted by Detroit Williams. He bet it through somebody. Don't you know
the middleman
can find that fool? So, you know, somebody don't get caught for being
Well, Pat, I mean, your cell phone's got is an IP.
There you go. There you go.
I mean, so in other words, a cat goes to a cat house. Might as well keep the word. A cat goes into a cat house and uses, like Lamar Odom, and uses his credit card. And they can shit. That's all leaked up. I mean, that never goes away. That intel's always a, hey, Lamar, you had a hefty bill on your visa about 3 years ago, and then you came back 2 years ago and put it on your Amex. And then Popo, 5-0, law enforcement said, dude, do you know when you go to places like that, you use cash?
Mm-hmm.
All right, can so they get the drop.
Can you imagine how history is going to wrap itself around this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it started. It started already.
Just
talking
until, well, Pat, check this out, Patrick. Everybody remembers Jackie Smith. Tight end, Cardinals, Cowboy.
Excellent
set it
play.
Up, Mike.
What Super Bowl, right? Ball. Steelers, Cowboys,
he
set it up.
He drops the ball. The guy says, oh, he must be the sickest man in North America. Can you imagine how much money he dropped?
Yes.
If he dropped
that
Mike, ball. Hey,
Mike, to that point, you have Butch Johnson on your show.
Yes.
Number 86 for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Who played during that era? He was on the show, and I asked him about Jackie Smith. We brought that up. We're like, yo, Jackie Smith, and he said, you know, that Jackie was his roommate for the Super Bowl, and he said I don't want to word him, but he alluded to something about Jackie having the drops, and he said to him, "I sure the hell hope you don't do that show on Sunday on the Super Bowl day." And sure enough, he did. And now
sure
Jackie
did.
Smith is still ostracized by Cowboy fans to this day.
That's why I brought it up. Yeah,
and he's a Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Fame player. And Mike, let me tell this thing right quickly for people who don't understand the dynamics of how they intertwine of the gambling, the league, and exposure to get caught. I'll say this: I spent 7 years on Wall Street on the Florida Stock Exchange. If they can find a guy with a piece of paper doing some backdoor stuff for a trade that's worth $55,000 or $60,000, they'll find your monkey ass putting a bet in for a football game.
No, that's right. Yep.
And how do I know? My brother was involved. My brother was a manager of what department? Stock surveillance.
There you go.
That's why. No,
there you go.
They're going to find you.
It's legal.
Come on, man.
It's legal. You can't avoid it now. They can call it whatever they want, but it's legal. So you can do what you want.
You can do.
Just don't get caught.
Caught. And again, it starts this weekend. The college kids are going to go crazy. Somebody's going to have to drop out of school because they got no tuition. Because they put up on a bet. It's not funny, but somebody going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Mike, can I throw this in, Mike? Did everybody,
yep.
everyone look at the Jackson State, the South Carolina game? They got the first half of the game, they got pretty good ratings.
Yeah.
They obviously Jackson State did the job on them, but I think it was some good exposure, so they got blown in the second half. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, good for the brother at Jackson State, man.
Yes,
and good for
the
athletes there as well.
Yes. Now this weekend, Fred, is Reggie on the line?
Not yet.
This weekend up here in Jersey, and Eric, you know, in Newark, they're putting, you know, they have the soccer arena,
right?
That fits about 25,000. Well, they're bringing in Hampton and Grambling. This Saturday, I'm doing some work on that game.
You gonna be in the house?
Yeah, I'll be in the house.
Cool.
I didn't know. Quite frankly, I'm gonna tell you, I told Mike this. I didn't know about it till Monday.
Oh, the marketing. The marketing.
It's not marketed well. Oh, it's terribly marketed. But I had a list of all the games, and somehow I skipped that game. And it was my lady's good friend. Who called her and says, "Are you going to the game next Saturday?" So my lady called me and said, "Honey, are you going to the game next Saturday?" I said, "What game?" Graham goes, "They ain't got no game up here." Well,
you don't know.
Rest is history.
Have a good time, man.
And they're sponsored by a producer, so you know they got all the money in the world because Graham ain't been up here since Eddie Robinson died. Because Eddie Robinson was up every year by George Steinbrenner.
Whitney Young, right? The Whitney Young game, I remember.
Yes,
certainly.
That's it.
It is Whitney Young, Fallen Gunsberg.
Yeah, I went to one of those as a youth. That was cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was kind of coach. I mean, Eddie Robinson was like, you know, that dude, right? So, you know,
yes.
It was kind of cool seeing him stomping the sideline as a young
yes.
man, since I had a lot of respect for
him. Yes. I had one interview with Eddie Robinson. I can't find it, unfortunately. But he and Steinbrenner were very, very close.
Yeah, Steinbrenner dug
so
right.
Close.
He, right, yeah. Yeah, he dug
yeah,
right.
So
Eddie.
Close.
Yeah,
he brought him up. The whole band, everybody, bring everybody up. Like it was,
oh, yeah.
Like it was
I mean, Steinbrenner was a blue blood. I mean, he hired Coach
yeah.
Glendon, you know, when he was running the pipe.
Yeah.
Right.
So he
knew
the pipers.
He knew the real. Steinbrenner had the eye for the town.
Yeah, yeah. But he wanted to be the manager, and he wanted to be the owner and manager and coach. That's his problem.
The original Jerry Jones. I remember a Steinbrenner story that I kind of dug is when they were playing the Padres, you know, and that's when they had a dual stadium Chargers, right? And you know, Steinbrenner was walking the field with Torrey, and he said, and the field was all messed up from the game before, you know, which the Chargers playing a home game, and he.
Yep.
Steinbrenner said, "Damn, this Natron Means must be one hell of a running back. All this turf chewed up."
And what people don't realize, and I know this for a fact, Steinbrenner was sniffing. Let's put it this way: he put out some scent about buying a pro football team.
Right.
And for those who believe, and think that Eddie Robinson wasn't going to be considered head coach, you're fooling yourself.
Right.
I got that from somebody who worked in the organization and was around him for 25 years.
And if you look at his history, like when he first started, man, his father was still alive when he put Coach McGlinchey on as his head coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I
mm-hmm.
mean, he gave him the Cleveland Pipers.
Came the Pipers.
And at the time,
that's
the
right.
NBA was not what it is. And that matter of fact,
that's
Steinbrenner
right.
brought,
was no idea.
That's right.
Yeah.
Steinbrenner
that's right.
brought professional basketball to Cleveland through the
mm-hmm.
Pipers.
That's right.
You know,
and
Coach McGlinchey's thing was like he was cool because you know he gave him a shot, right? He gave him a shot to coach a pro team as a brother based off his collegiate exploits,
mm-hmm.
not professional exploits, right? Which was rare because
mm-hmm.
he replaced it with you know when Coach McGlinchey got picked up to GM because he couldn't deal with Steinbrenner. You know, he told George, you know, young Steinbrenner, like, listen, two places you can't be, you know, in my locker room and in my bench. In the state
mm-hmm.
of Cleveland, city of Cleveland. Other than that, it's all good for you wherever you want to go. But these two places are off limits to you. Steinbrenner
yep.
respected shit like that. You know, he didn't fire
yep.
him, move on him. And then he, you know, he replaced it with Bill Sharman of Celtic fame and coached that Laker team to the 33-game winning streak. Now we see
mm-hmm.
Bill Sharman, you know, on this little Showtime, this winning time thing on HBO. They show him as the GM
yep.
of the Lakers. During the Showtime years, same brother, same dude that was not good enough to get the initial coaching job from Coach McGlinchey. So Steinbrenner put him on. So, you know what I mean? And then, like you said, he got that the black football game going at Yankee Stadium, right? And got that going.
Oh, he's so
– Right,
yeah.
So, you know, so there's people who do their little things and can recognize things. So Steinbrenner has all those other moves, but the brothers who know shit know that Steinbrenner what we did put the brothers on.
Yep. Mm. Yeah.
You see, you all forget that the Yankees back then played Gremlin at Gremlin every year when they were in
the baseball team.
When they were in training.
Exactly. He brought them down.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. That's right.
You know, and so, I mean, so the way the Steinbrenner view from those who know, and even those, you know, from what, you know, Coach McGlinchey relayed, he's like, you know, he's a hothead. His father had the money. He was a young dude at the time. He was really demonstrative, you know, so I wasn't shocked to see what he's doing, but he always gave me my respect.
It was interesting for that to happen. I'm interested to see what Hampton looks like this year. And Fred, I don't know if you have any intel on how good they are at all.
That's Reggie country.
Yeah. So if Reggie was, he could let us know.
They're struggling.
They are.
Hey, you die, huh? Haven't they got out the Miat, right? They're trying to jump from the Miat.
They're in the CAA now. They're not in the
Yeah. because Hampton was coming up every other year after Jersey to play Mama.
That's right.
And, yeah.
Good old Mama. Hey, yeah. What up, Mama? The whore.
Mama's ain't what it used to be. Ain't no joke.
Nah, Mama's here. Mama's turned up a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
And you know
cool
why?
Dude, but I don't know if he's the right guy for the hoop. But yeah, they turned up.
Because you know they had what's that guy from North Carolina? What's his name? The coach down there, basketball coach down there. Okay, from North Carolina.
King Rice.
Yeah, King Rice. But also, Rice. What the football coach started doing? He started getting guys in Jersey. That D1 schools or some other D2 schools weren't paying attention to, and start bringing them into Mammoth. And Mammoth campus, like I said, I don't know what I told you before, when I first came back to Jersey in 85, I had to go down there for some business. I'm going, this looks like a desert. Look like this. I went back about 7-8 years ago. I said, is this the same campus?
It's even the gymnasiums. And the other thing that's going to turn up that little area, especially people other than Netflix, is going to Fort Monmouth for the major production process. Where Fort Monmouth used to be, exactly. Netflix is bought out there. So they've been a Cali-based thing out here in NorCal, but they've got production complex at Fort Monmouth. So yeah, that's going to attract people in thespian community entertainment thing. And the university will probably get more divisions. We used to play this holiday jubilee at Mammoth College. It was a major
Remember
the jubilee? The jubilee was all that. Now they play at Neptune High, my alma mater. But the thing is, back at the time, though, it was all at the jubilee was hot. At Mammoth College.
Well, they built a whole new arena, about 5,000 people. $53 million with no state funds. I'll leave it at that. That's what that's telling me.
I mean, one thing about Jersey, you can throw the stadiums up, right? Where the Giants and Jets play. I always crack up on the New York Giants and the New York Jets. I mean, how does that work? Because they play in Jersey, but they got to file taxes in Jersey. They're called New York.
Hey, but here's how it works. The deal was made when they built the old Brendan Byrne Arena and the stadium.
And the Meadowlands.
Started with the Giants.
The Meadowlands, right?
Meadowlands.
Okay.
What happened was when they built the stadium, the agreement wasn't made because, there's a thing in the NFL that you can have a team within 75 miles of each other. Well, of course, they broke that up. But the deal was, if they come here, they got to be the New York Giants versus the Jersey Giants.
That play in Jersey.
That's it. That was a deal.
And the New York Jets who play in Jersey. I tell people the only true New York team is Buffalo.
That's what they say.
that's what they say, right? That's the rumor? Okay.
And they're about to pull a billion-dollar stadium together.
In Buffalo?
They got some stuff going up there because the wife who was running the Bills had two heart attacks. Owner's taking over. But they got
Wilson's dead, right? The original owner, Ralph Wilson, right?
Some new people got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The Wilson family's out.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was a orange.
Wilson's out. Pagula's in.
Yeah.
Got it.
So,
got it.
Yeah, he's taking over, but that's the trick. The deal was made that you can have the stadium, but the Giants are gonna play over here because Giants played up in Yale Stadium, the Yale Bowl for a while they were building the Meadowlands.
But Jersey's winning because they get all the tax loot, right?
So what?
That's right.
Because they play in Jersey.
Yeah,
that's right.
So the players have to file in New Jersey.
Pretty much.
They got to, right? I mean, that's where they play.
Well, most of the players live in Jersey.
Now if they're clipping them both ways with that entertainment tax shift in New York and Jersey, then damn.
Yes, they are.
That makes sense. So they're getting the double clip. I got it. All right. That makes sense.
I was in the
film
with
that's
the
what
Nets,
they do in sports.
That's what they were telling the players. Well, I went to work with the Nets. The guys that stay in Jersey go back and forth. But guys still have – at that time, they were making so much money, they could go back and forth. Because Kenny Anderson had a place in Jersey. He had a place in New York. He got busted.
Yeah, Kenny lost a lot of loot and shit. He's coaching Sid. He lost a lot. He lost a lot of loot.
Yeah, I know Kenny. Yeah, he lost.
Kenny got burnt, man. Yeah. Kenny went through some shit, you know. I mean, he went through some sexual abuse crap.
His,
you know, it's a lot
his
of
wife
bad shit.
Who under his wife. I was at their wedding. And I said,
good brother.
Well, I got to say,
very likable, cool brother. You know
nice
what I'm saying? Oh, man. I know.
But I knew something was wrong when he had his wedding. When he's walking down the aisle, he had a vest on that had his name written on him. I'm going, bro, they know who you are. Come on. Come on.
A lot of psychological shit people be going through,
man.
You know what I mean?
That was the time.
All right. So that's how this works. So Woody Johnson, he's skimming from both areas. So he's got a lot of New York fans crossing that water every Sunday.
I'm gonna tell you this, fellas. Even though I hate to say it. First of all, I stopped watching TV morning shows because they ain't talking about nothing but the Jets, Aaron Rodgers, Dallas Cowboys, and Patrick Mahomes. I turn it off. I watch the news. But I'm telling Jet fans, that's got a good team. Slow you roll. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Slow you roll.
You got to remember, they don't care. The NFL has been pulling up at least 5 different revenue streams over the past 8 years. All that adds up to more money. And we're not even joking.
I tell you, they sure ain't hurting from the Jets' popularity right now. I mean, they're getting paid left, right, front. I mean, they got Woody Johnson spending money on Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
Hey, but brother, they're all in. These Jets fans are going
Woody is flush with cash like he's never seen for this football team.
Mm-hmm. Only time he has clothes like this is when he had Brett Favre.
Yeah.
I don't like the team.
You know what I mean? I don't like the Jets team. Like the offensive line is suspect as heck.
That's true. I have them making the playoffs, but after that, anything goes. I'll leave it
there. I mean, do they open up with Buffalo?
They probably will.
Is their opening game against the Bills?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, that's going to be really interesting because Buffalo, you know, they may be wanting to do some myth busting in that game.
Yeah. I will be doing at least one Jet game. I was found out. I got note yesterday that somebody must be doing at least one Jet game. I said, sure, I'll do one Jet game. See what's going on. But it won't be that one. But it's
chaotic over there. Patrick, man, Jersey and New York turned up with these Jets.
But the Jets front office have the worst group of junior executives in the entire sports world. Talk about
ass
kisses. Oh Lord, beyond
arrogant.
No, they just
incompetent.
Some are arrogant, but
there are people
who want to impress. You know how this all changed? It all changed when Woody Johnson got the team. When Hess got the team, he was much more open to bringing
things
in.
Yeah, Hess was a different breed. Oh,
that's
cool.
It. He would go on the field and ask, are you all right? You need anything? If they don't take care, you come and see me. Woody Johnson acts like, you know, he walks right past like he don't even exist.
Johnson money.
And the people who got working for him all the same way. There's this guy for a couple of years when he first got there. He's like 2 feet tall. I've been covering the Jets for almost 20 years. And he walks past me and says, he looks at my credentials and says, I said, you have a problem? I'm just checking that shit. I got his credential. I said, he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just checking you. I know he's going to get you off the field. He did. Hey,
Woody,
come
on, Woody. You know, wake up, bro.
They got a bunch of guys like that. That's who he has, and that's also part of the problem. He has too many guys who are business and marketing people who don't know nothing about football. How does it sell? Because we're in New York. That's part of the problem.
And that's why the Jets are where they are. And we've seen this pattern with certain teams in the league. You know,
yes.
The premise was always there are 3 to 5 teams that will look for the agent, the free agent, the trade, the big move to get their fans into it from Jump Street. And there's another 5 teams that don't give a fuck. They're collecting their check. Everybody else is going to stay in the
slot. I'm sorry for the workers at Metropolitan Stadium. Because the Giants play on Sunday night. Jets play on Monday. They got to take their own stadium in 24 hours.
Yep. Oh, oh, oh.
Degrees, 24 hours.
That's, oh, guys. They
yeah, they'll flip
that.
It. I mean,
they'll
just like they
it.
Do these hockey rinks, you know what I'm saying, with the NBA game that takes the floor.
And that's also why Grandma is playing Hampton and Red Bull Stadium, because they're going to do some special stuff on the field that starting this weekend and next week.
Oh,
that's why.
I mean, I think Buffalo's going to come in there a little chippy.
You think?
Jet type.
You think?
Because they've been
wouldn't
running
you?
The AFCs, right?
Wouldn't you?
And you know what? They got the dogs to do it. And DeMar Hamlin's getting back out there, too, you know, so.
And what people don't understand, Aaron Rodgers said, you're the prince of the city, start losing. You'll be the pauper of the city by the time it gets through with you. They'll be talking about your mama. I'm telling
that's
you,
right.
I know how they are. Especially Jet fans. Patrick,
will he have his Herman Edwards moment? You play to win the game.
Yeah, you're right.
He's a good brother.
Props to Herm. Everything would say, motherfucker, did you see what
that's
I'm trying to do?
That's what he wanted to say. That's what he really
wanted to say.
You know, because, and I always respect Herm because I'm in a press room, press conference, you know how these guys are white players asking the dumbest questions in the world and getting paid all that money. And Herb would just go right back at him, you know? I mean, short of saying, like you said, Eric, mofo, he come right back
at
him.
Exactly. Mofo. Better language. Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's a good brother. Good dude. He is what he is. You know, there's no difference between what you see on TV and what he is in life.
I'm still thinking Jordan Love's going to have a better year than Rodgers, man. I mean, you know, I think Jordan's going to have a better year.
Yeah. He's playing well. Well, you know what?
They're hoping in Dallas that Trey Lance has a better season than Dak Prescott.
Michael.
Ain't gonna play him.
Trey Lance will not be in Dallas for long. Trust me, he will not be there long. Rumors already out. He's already gonna be traded again.
I said before the draft that Prescott was getting traded. Now you say Lance is gonna get traded. One of these motherfuckers has got to go.
And Mike, let me tell you who keep your eye on when the season ends. Keep your eye on one quarterback.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know what one quarterback is? If Zach don't do what he got to do,
Cooper?
Keep your eye on the guy that plays for the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Because guess where he's from? Right down the road from Texas Stadium.
Is that super scrub?
Well, you know, I mean, I got a different view on that, just a little different view, man. You know, looking at the Jerry Jones move, Purdy's got an elbow surgery, you know, so he's one good hit away because he's a small guy. We've seen it in Philly, and when he was rolling last year, you know, me and a brother, you know, he used to play in the league. He had a cup of coffee taste, you know. And he was a defensive line cat. And he was like, listen, that Purdy ain't been tested. Once he got with that Eagles and that pass rush, it was a wrap. Him and Johnson got knocked out, right? They had they had what's that kid's name? Number two, McCaffrey. He was like this summer. Purdy could not be on the rock. So Purdy is going to get roughed up, and you know he's going to go a full year. Most quarterbacks don't make the season. Sam Darnold will be the backup. He's taking them nowhere if he gets into the game. Taking Trey Lance out of the 49ers equation as a possible quarterback and putting on your team, because it looks like, you know, Dallas is thinking long term. Niners got the best talent. Philly's no joke. But they just got three deep with their depth position, but they also weakened, in my case, the Niners' quarterback position by getting Lance off that roster, who understood the system. So, you know, I mean, maybe Jerry ain't that smart as I'm playing him to be, but if you lessen that a little bit, thinking Purdy ain't going to finish out because of a small frame and you got Darnold coming in, he can't win, take Lance off the roster. Lance would still be a better move than Darnold to me long term. Now he's on this squad.
I imagine. I think that the thing that everybody looks at, and I could do the same thing, is the head coach. The head coach has a scheme.
Well, McCarthy, my goodness.
Yeah, he has a scheme that can get by and have a very good. Well, first of all that said, they better sign Nick Bosa and stop playing around.
For the Niners, they got to have Bosa.
They better sign him. But
the Niners are loaded, man. They got that defensive tackle from Philly. Him and Eric, you know, my man Eric, you know, in the middle. Both, of course, he wreaked his havoc.
That's a vote for you guys. I don't think Shanahan can coach. I'm sorry, I don't think he can coach.
Shanahan can't close. I would agree with you there. He can't close.
Yeah, man.
He'll get you there.
Sure that.
Like Atlanta, you know, coordinator when he was rolling over the Patriots and he punked out and started making some crap calls.
That's right.
He was leading against Kansas City right before Mahomes, you know, started rolling out. He basically outcoached that game as well. But no, he's, you know, silver spoon kid, right? I mean, his father was Mike Shanahan, so he had the keys to the kingdom, nepotism, head coach hire. Same thing as the dude in L.A., nepotism, McVay, you know, nepotism, head coach hire. And so, no, he can't close. He can get to them in McCarthy, my goodness. If you give him a minute instructions on a microwave meal, he's going to F up the instant noodles, man, somehow, some way.
Mike, I look at the Eagles. They look real good, bro. They look
good.
They look good.
Pick up. They're going to be selling the backfield for Rashad Penny. It gives them credible depth. When they won in 18, credible depth is what got them by. I can't see it. They got the best right tackle in the league in Lane Johnson, the best center, arguably in Kelce, and Mulata is a bona fide tackle. So you got three main positions on the offensive line covered solid gold. You know, the Eagles can't do nothing except make sure that everybody's healthy because injuries will be the only thing that do them in. But, yeah, they're looking strong. They got a 2 to 3 year window to get a ring. If they get a chip in, mission accomplished. If not, they will screw it up.
Agreed. And Mariota is a backup.
They finally got him. They were going to trade. They were going to trade up to 3 first round draft choices when he came out of college because of that asshole Chip Kelly, who don't know shit about football. Now they finally got him. He's backing up like he's supposed to.
Yeah, I like Minshew better.
I like Minshew. I like him.
Yeah, I like him better than Mariota. You know, they did a little quarterback special thing on Netflix, and you know, he sold out his squad with the Falcons. Yeah, that wasn't a good feel.
Yeah.
Remember how he bailed out at the end of the year when they made a quarterback draft? Yeah. He just bounced out.
It's that's it. And one thing I found interesting, the Tennessee Titans, man, have done a roster that's put together real nice. And I found out, I didn't know until I saw the game, they have a brother as GM who I've never heard of. Who was quite, you know, quite informative about how you put his team together. And by the way, if the team plays like a similar team in the West, of course, he came from the Kansas City Chiefs. He's built his roster just like that, but he ain't got Patrick Mahomes.
I got a quarterback question for you, quarterback whisperers over here. You know, Mike, really, you know, you guys are really good with the quarterback analysis. All, you know, really, really good. I like the takes. Justin Fields, man, what happens this year with Justin Fields?
You know what happens? He needs some help. He needs help. You know, unfortunately, and we know it as athletes. They want him to be a super nigga. You can't. You got to get him.
Yeah, exactly right.
You got to. You know, we keep talking about, you know, what DJ Moore. That's nice, but give him more than DJ Moore. Give the brother some help.
He needs more. That's exactly right. He needs more.
What's it take, Mike? I mean, he ran for, what, 1,000-plus yards last year, right?
Almost. Come on. Give him some help. You know, and the GM there is a brother, and the president now is a brother. Warren, who used to be the commissioner of Big Ten. Come on,
fine. You not only need to give him help. You not only need to give him help. You need to make the receivers, to everybody in the huddle, believe we got to be money every time we touch the ball.
I can believe that too.
If we watch the Seattle Seahawks, the year that they won, and I was looking over that. Studying film like Fred does, and I gotta say, every receiver that the Seahawks had, even the non-starters, everybody treated that ball like a starving man on Christmas ham. Every time he let the ball up, I saw more amazing catches out of Seattle's receiver corps than anyone in that whole year. And not even talking about the Super Bowl, the path up there. Everybody, Lockett, Kirk, everybody was just catching balls, Golden Tate. And it was like they went back to the huddle. It's like, yes, sir, can I have another? Russell picked that ball up, everybody, and everybody responded. That's the kind of stuff that you want from your field general. When he's in the huddle, do this, do that. We got this. We'll score. We kick ass. Next. We haven't seen that from them. I don't know what that fool will do in New Orleans with Russell, but if he was paying attention, he was looking at that tape.
Yeah, I think people are underestimating Russell. I really think so. I think now, you know how Shanahan is going to be crazy, but I think I think Russell will be much. You know, I said to somebody recently, if
he's
Russell,
not hit out, man. I mean, he's not. He's been clanked up the last three seasons, man. Like beat the da-da-da-da up. You know what I mean? What I see it in Russ is the guy with the will and the thought process. Man, God, he's not the same dude, man. I mean, them last 2 years in Seattle and last year in Denver, man, I mean, he was getting
running for his life.
Bang, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I mean, jeez. You know what I mean? So, I mean, at what point in time does a player endure those level of hits,
yes,
you know, and injuries over the last few years without, yes, you know, losing some torque?
Yes,
that's what I see. Well, in Russell, yes. I mean, the mindset, but the skill set and the beatings have been brutal. We've seen it with Cam, right? After that Super Bowl with Cam, I mean, and the contact he took was never the same.
Yes. And that quarterback from Buffalo is getting close to that.
Allen, the way he runs the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Vick, right? I mean, when Vick came back from, you know, his little tour where he had to step away from the NFL, man, I mean, it was like a green light to hit him 5 yards after the play. I mean, he released a pass an hour ago and they were teeing off, and that ref never threw a flag.
That's right.
And he talked about it, he said, man, these guys are not, these refs are not protecting me. I'm taking way too much contact.
Yeah, and they would never hit Tom Brady like that. You'd be kicked out.
Never, No, it's
right.
Josh. He's perfectly offensive linemen were holding every other play for
right.
Brady.
That's right.
They were never penalty.
You're right about that. You're right about that. Gentlemen, we are at final thoughts. You know, interesting dialogue, good discourse. Tell you what Patrick said about, please.
Well, the other day I was getting ready to go to the studio and writing some notes down, trying to put some shows together. And I said, let me take a quick look to see what's on the, you know, on the TV before I can – let's get some updates because I got three shows I'm working on now. And I just happened to hit the new Undisputed with Bayless, with people –
Round Table. We're sitting on the round
table. It's a table already. You got Skip Bayless. You got Richard Sherman. You got $18 million leaving ESPN, Keyshawn Johnson. And you got Michael Irvin. It's an interesting mix of people. We had one moment there when they were talking about difficulties of positions. So, of course, Michael Irvin and Keyshawn were talking about the difficulty of wide receivers and what they have to do in terms of technique. And Richard Sherman turns the camera. I give these guys much respect. But the most difficult position to play on the field is cornerback. Both of them thought they lost their mama, walked off the stage. It's an interesting mix. They had some genuine conversation. The only problem is they're still on the hump of the same topics as ESPN, and they threw a little LeBron James and said, come on, guys. You have four guys.
I mean,
guys,
come on, man.
Guys,
the NBA season's not to October. Yeah.
So it's an interesting show. Let's see how it works out. Because what I understand from people I know, a person I know that works at ESPN, Stephen A, the guy's about to break out with some new stuff that is going to open people's eyes. So, okay, I'll wait and see.
All right, stay tuned. Thank you, Patrick. Professor, if you would.
Well, again, I'm sure you're all aware that this is hurricane season, and we're in the middle, pretty much
yes,
in the middle, or on the top side of one right now. Just right now, I can hear rain. Me and you and Rain on the rooftop. There's rain on the rooftop right now. But you know, this weekend we kick off football season for real.
Yeah.
Maybe probably start next week or whenever. They will get the 17 games in 19 weeks of how they do it. But you know, I don't know about y'all, but I'm sick and tired of this whole Deion Sanders thing. He did what he did.
TCU this weekend, right?
And that too. He did what he did, and some good, some bad. But as I've told people all along, there were people doing great things for HBCUs long before Deion was born. One of whom was right there across the track from where he was, and probably was running back and forth schooling girls and whatever. My point is simply this. We just have to keep doing what we've been doing. And, you know, you can attest to that because you were HBCU grad too and all that kind of good stuff. You know, when I look at your university, failure should never cross your mind because you had Big John, you had Ed Temple, Coach Martin, Coach, you know, And you got.
Hey, Fred, man, I'm growing up looking at championship banners and Uncle Skull and these people, you know, coming into the household and more than that, right? And so you're right. Failure doesn't. Coach McLinden rap with him. I mean, you're right. Failure does never enter the equation. I just wanted to second that.
You see, one of the things I told people about Oprah. Oprah was exposed to that same kind of environment.
I've seen her.
I've been putting together a group of 1,000 plus HBCU graduates. And there were times I actually cried when I hit certain things because, you know,
mm-hmm.
here's a young man, mm-hmm. a young lady, and Mr. Moore and I used to chart this. How many people would tell us that Tennessee State or Winston-Salem State or Virginia State was the only school they applied to and they got in, or that was the only school that wrote them back? And they made it. And I can give you a list of a bunch of them who did that. So, you know, HBCU's got to keep on doing what they've been doing, just do more
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Right on to that.
I say, Fred, in regards to
that's a five-hour show.
What he has to do. But they were talking about a segment on Skip Bayless, and the guys talking about what Dion can do in 2 years. He can bring the program for 2 years. I'm going, Dion, if he thinks he got a battle now, he's with the big boys. It might be about 5 years. 4 or 5 years before he has a team that can really do something. But if they think in 2 years they're going to do something in 2 years,
I mean, they played some Division I-A teams and struggled. TCU is no joke.
TCU ain't no joke, bro.
No joke.
And by the way, Eric, you know who your alma mater plays on Saturday?
Tell me.
Notre Dame.
Damn, Eddie, that's a step up. Tennessee State versus Notre Dame, just the fact they pulled that shit off is awesome. You know, I mean, Fred and, you know, and everyone here, you know, we've got the bandwidth of the history. You know, I grew up in the history, man. I mean, I don't have no other perspective because both my parents went to Tennessee State, right? So that's my environment I grew up in, you know. Seeing these books, knowing all these, you know, friends of my father, you know, and all these, and the thing I like to mention too, it just wasn't about TSU. I mean, if you balled at Grambling, if you balled at Winston-Salem, if you played at, you know, Delaware State, whatever the heck, it was a family thing. It was a unity thing. I never see my father go without anything, right? Like, you know, he needed to get his car fixed. You know, he's a nice mechanic. And it was a great. I love the Skull Barnett thing that was on NBA TV. Pops was looking good.
Yes,
looking
yes.
good. He had some great quotes, right? Looking good on the tube. But back to the point. When looking at these things, it was a whole network. So, I mean, when I talked to Fred, you know, and he went, you know, and it's one of some film things. I remember I talked to Al Addles, right? He went to NC North Carolina A&T, right? But even though he went to, you know, A&T, he's out of Newark, and he was a great brother to speak with. It was like, to me, there's all these different uncles I had. You know how the mom tell us, that's Uncle Jimmy, that's
mm-hmm.
Uncle John. That's how I felt with this whole network. Oh, he went there. When I met Ralph Boston, Rustin Power, he passed recently, you know, first gold medal. I think he got a gold medal in one of the Olympic
Games. Yes, long jump.
Yeah, long jump. And he heard I was on campus, and I'm sitting, you know, he was working. I remember he gave me his card. He was working in shorts in Knoxville. And he was suited and booted real clean. He hung out with Ali, too, at the 60 Olympic Games with Wilma Rudolph and them. They were like a little network team. You know, Tiger Bell, Ali. Yeah, Skeeter. My mom called it Skeeter. That was a girlfriend of hers. She was known as Skeeter on the campus. So that's all I ever heard her refer to. Met her, too, all through these networks, right? And so the thing being is, you know, when I never forget him. He's clean, man. You know, I think it was a homecoming. He used to call my father Diamond Jim. You know what I'm saying? Hey, your Diamond son? He just beelines, right? Like an uncle gave me his card, make sure Diamond talks to me. You need anything, get feedback. I mean, I was overwhelmed just with just this effulgence of positivity being projected. But to Fred's point, these are actual lifetime experiences, right? And it's not bragging. It's what the situation was. It's what the exposure is, you know, and so that's how it was. So when Fred speaks to, you know, what the feeling, the emotion about seeing these people and how they applied and all that was there. And it's like, you know, my father would say things like, you know, going to these white schools. That's how we would still look at it. Like, these guys are crazy going to these white schools.
You know? I think this weekend, Notre Dame playing Tennessee State can help. I'm looking to see the results.
I like that
the
idea.
Off the field. What happens to be exposed on national TV, what it could do for the university.
But what
can it do for the university?
But see, and here's the link that's not understood that HCC type heads know, is that we connect to all these generations. So I heard the story, you know, about my father's era and my mother's era. They were there. They were on the scene. They were on the set. And so my family history literally started there, to the current tense and everything that happens in between. So when someone just pops in and go, what they're doing for HCCUs, and we know the people who are putting in so much work prior to, it's kind of insulting. We won't say that word because we'll show respect for another brother, but it's really insulting because that's not true what you're saying. You know, because there's people who did that prior to. You know, you didn't start there. You went to FSU, you did your thing. You wanted to coach your son, control his destiny as a football player. He's up against us this week. I hope he got an O-line because they're coming, you know, this Saturday. But that's another story. But to Fred point, so Mike, you want me to weigh in real quick to the final point, man? I mean, because I can go all over. My final. I appreciate that. Thank you for that. I appreciate that, for taking the time. But segueing into the final thought, and Patrick, you're going to relate to this. So, another high school, you know, come up cat that I grew up with, played ball with, because, you know, that was my whole world as a young man, was Walter Dinky Proctor, was his name. Walter Proctor. Dinky is what we call him. He was 6'7" point guard that went to Rutgers Prep, you know. And me and my friends, we used to laugh at him. Like, they had Dinky Street. Remember Street and Smith was a power move with sports back then, Street and Smith magazine?
Yes.
Wanted to be in Street and Smith if you hoop.
That's
true. Play football, right? Remember that? Street and Smith
indeed.
Was, you know, you didn't have nothing. And that's where I met, like, Howie Garfinkel. Garf was cool, right? You know, he was like this guru scout, ran five-star basketball camp for many years. With this other dude named Tom Konchowski. He started doing
My man, Tom.
He recently passed. He's a Hall of Famer now. But, you know, he did a lot of high school scouts. These guys was like, they were like putting in the work, you know. I mean, they pull you to the side. And they had the whole drop on everything, right? So I remember, you know, Dinky, as he was called. His name was Walter Proctor, you know, full name, you know. And we used to laugh because, you know, he was playing like Blair Academy, you know, all these little small prep schools getting like 50,
Blair
6'7" point guard. Yeah, remember that school? Rutgers Prep. If you went to Rutgers Prep back then, you know, that was like some high end ish back in the day, right? And so they loved him there, and you know, he was first team All American, McDonald's All American, and he ended up going to North Carolina State and Valvano, right? And he was on the national championship team, but he didn't play that year because he had a knee injury, right? And then he kind of fell out. Then they had an article on him where he was in the Raleigh area, NC State in Raleigh, I believe. Okay, so he's in the Raleigh area, and he ended up becoming, in the article, like they called him the world's tallest janitor or something, right? Because he kind of fell out. And I remember talking to Thurl Bailey. Remember Thurl, Utah Jazz?
Yes.
Thurl. He does the broadcast, right, for the Jazz, correct, color. You know, I mean, it was him. Remember Ricky Green from Michigan?
Right.
Played point guard. Remember Ricky? Yeah, he played with the Jazz back then, one of the fastest guards around at that time. So we were chopping it up. I said, you know, I was talking to Thurl, and this goes, of course, going back years. Like, what happened to Dinky? You know, he said, oh, no, he got heavy. You know, he blew out his knee, and he kind of fell out, and no one could kind of follow him. So lo and behold, I ran across this information, you know, recently where this young man named Tyrese Proctor going to Duke, you know, high-end All-American type, probably be a lottery pick after his 1 year at Duke. Dinky's son, so it's kind of cool to see that because it didn't work out basketball-wise for Dinky. Cool, like I said, really cool brother, could come here with us and build with us like no problem. And then I started reflecting, you know, back to, you know, Coach McLendon when he had the secret game with Duke, right? There's a great audio book on that secret game. I heard some excerpts. I mean, really done extremely well how that game was set up, and it really went into the backdrop. So here when Coach McLendon was couldn't do anything, and he had to have the secret game with Duke. Now, you know, years later, you know, you got a cat, you know, grow up with my parent. My grandmother lived down the street with Duke University for many years. And now Dinky's son, you know, is going to go there and get balling over there at Duke. You know, he's coming out of Australia, though. That's where Dinky went to go play for a while. But his name is Tyrese Prox. Pay attention to him. He's going to be a freshman there. He's, you know, top pick, playing on the USA team. And then also with the Duke connection, you know, how things change. Again, looking at the historicals, when McLennan, Coach McLennan had to have the secret game just to try to break barriers. Now you got a friend of yours, son, you know, who didn't think work out, you know, going there for different reasons. And then Kara Lawson's the women's basketball coach there, you know, and she's a sister. You know, and Kara was out here in Sacramento for many years. We built, worked on some projects together. So just kind of looking to connect the dots and to think that, and, you know, to Fred's point, how this, you know, Coach McLennan had the secret game, and now to see these people, friends, associates break through on that equal footing, no matter what happens in the years, man, I'm tying that together saying, again, it was the catalyst again, you know, back to, you know, Tennessee State coaching days, who goes all the way back to Dave Smith, the creator of the game that makes all these links happen. And it just fell in my lap one day. Like, all this information, seeing, you know, Dink's son, I'm like, man, that's Dink's son. And then seeing, you know, Carrie being coaching there, I ran across that a little bit, and seeing how it all compounds in a different level, knowing 50 years ago, they couldn't go nowhere near that campus.
True that. And the beat goes off, right off. Gang.
Word.
Yes, sir.
Come on with it, brother.
Baltimore Ravens.
Uh-oh.
Made history this year. The old quarterback coaching staff, African-American. There are three African-American quarterbacks. Three African-American quarterbacks this year. So the old quarterback staff is black. I want to see what the American press is going to do with this. Number two. I'd like to congratulate the ladies, Shakari Richardson and Bone Bio, for a great comeback of their injury.
Mm-hmm.
Richardson will be going to the Olympics.
Yep.
And Bone Bio will be going to the Olympics. Congratulations to the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies to Baltimore Ravens for doing what they're doing. And if we go, 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Be there.
Uh-oh. Yo, are you going to have Billy Paul on there? Am I black enough? Black enough fire? I mean, that's the Ravens quarterback situation, right? Am I black enough? Black enough fire?
Mike, one comment on what Gary said about track. No allows run track and shut the hell up.
Uh-huh. Word.
Well, you know what?
Basketball players at world. No, please.
It has to be said.
You run track, but please, be quiet.
It has to be said. We knew Serena Williams was the GOAT. Now Simone Biles is the GOAT.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Eight titles in 10 games.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. She's 26 years old. She's a bad mamma jabba.
Uh-oh.
And I know nothing about her kind of to whatever. All I know is she's excellent at what she does. All I know is that people copy her. And
incredible.
You know, they're mad at the fact that no matter what they say, they can't get her off her game.
Mm-mm.
This is a bad talent.
And Mike, can I throw this on her, Mike? She has an extra mouth since she got married, but I'll leave that alone.
I was going to be wrong because she getting that bounce.
And she married America. She married a brother, an African American male.
Yes, he did.
She took on the federales, man. Part of that billion-dollar lawsuit with that
Michigan State
individual, man. And then she bailed out, you know, on the Olympics. And why is she doing that, man? Come on, you know, the psychological trauma of being that person, right? And we went in and we nuclear holocaust it, you know, USA gymnastics, that whole operation, you know, asunder. And the sister, they all got built up on that, right? and came back, switched the whole media narrative of Simone here. Soul Tree Radio. Right here.
Exactly.
Flipped the whole narrative on Simone Bowles and all the sisters who stood up and all the women in media who stood up and all the other ones who understood that it was coming from the right place, the right reason, and no one went in like Soul Tree Radio on that topic. No one. But they followed suit afterwards as always. And we're glad to be the catalyst every single time.
You're right about that.
Unapologetically, I'm saying this. I mean, and no one ever takes us on because they can't prove us wrong, ever. And we go out on a limb on a lot of this. No, what's the pushback? We get no pushback other than let's get alignment with what, because everything they say was true. We got the documents, the facts, you know, the background, the historical. It's not a mythological here. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad you brought that up, Mike, because Soul Tree Radio and your platform, what you created, no one talked on that topic pre-Simone coming out saying she had to bail because of the, you know, what took place at Michigan State, the Carolis and all that. That's why she bailed. Everyone's, oh, why is she doing? She's letting her teammates down. No, then she came out, then they all backed the F up.
There's only one thing to say when there's nothing to say.
Vera, you know we tally up at 4 o'clock. What is your problem?
Kiss my ass, sugar. I've got to watch my girl until the last trick is gone, and I'm not about to ask no customer to roll over so I can punch some goddamn clock. Now this is your place, but I am in charge of the girl. You just kiss my ass.
Oh, baby.
Stop it,
sugar.
Don't do that.
So, baby, how we doing?
We made about 200.
200? Your girl's been back there all night. How'd they only make $200?
You kissed my ass quick. I don't never say nothing to you when the crap table and the bar come up short.
Because the bar and the crap table never come up short, just the girl.
Uh-oh.
Now, calm down, girl. Kiss my ass, sugar. I want to know what it is Quick is trying to say.
I ain't trying to say shit. You in charge of the girls, right?
I am in charge of the girls.
Are you in charge of the girls?
I am in charge of the girls.
Okay, the girls are always coming up short, all right? Let's get the shit out in the open. The girls are always coming up short. Even when the place is packed, the girls come up short. Now, either you or them got a problem with their arithmetic.
Are you saying I'm stealing?
The man didn't say you were stealing, Vera. Now, come on over here and sit down and shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up, Benny. I would tell you to kiss my ass, too, but you probably can't find it, you blind motherfucker.
Fuck you, bitch.
Me and you got to step out of that.
Hey, it was just a misunderstanding.
Uh-uh. No, it ain't. It ain't no misunderstanding. Quick just accused me of stealing. And if you're going to take up for Quick in here, we can all be some fighting motherfuckers in here this evening. Bring your ass, nigga. Bring it on. Come on. Bring your ass. Come on, get up and come on, motherfucker.
I want to see Quick
getting
into the old bitch ass.
I want to see this, too. Come on, Quick, don't see this. All right, bitch, you want to fight? We can fight then. You fat motherfucker, I'm tired of your shit.
Just bring your
I'm going to beat the shit out of your ass. You, oh, Jesus. No, homie, sugar. No, let me go, sugar. Let me go.
I'm just scared of him.
Watch your ass.
No, sugar, no homie.
You better watch it, Quick, you fucking with a heavyweight.
Like I'm some kind of dog. I kick his ass right
out here right now. Come on. Come on. Oh, come on, Vera. Don't you want to talk about that?
I ain't got nothing to say. You done insulted me, and I got to kick your ass right now. And afterwards, I don't want no hard feelings either.
So what the fuck is wrong with you?
Ain't nothing wrong with me. What the fuck is wrong with you? You done accused me of stealing. The only thing I'm stealing out here today is your face.
You out of your fucking mind?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, sucker. Let's get it on.
Oh, you want to fight? You want to fight? Well, then come on, goddammit. You've been fucking me since. I'm going to beat the shit out of your old ass in this motherfucker, too. Yeah. You have to punch people in their eyes, right? Right? Bitch,
That all you got?
Yeah, you didn't think it was going to be like that, right? And now I'm going to blast your motherfucking teeth out.
Nigga, you hit like a bitch.
Oh, you're a little slow, then you saw it, ain't you, huh? Yeah, I punch like a bitch, huh? Okay, I punch like a bitch? You'll say goodnight to this bitch right now.
You're going to have to learn to respect me. And the next time you accuse me of stealing, I'm going to kick your ass again.
You crazy bitch!
Oh, you wanna hit people with garbage cans. Now I got to cut you.
Better put that razor away. I ain't playing no more. You put that fucking razor away, I'm gonna blow your goddamn pinky toe off.
Oh, now you're gonna shoot me in my pinky toe.
I'm not playing with you. I will blow that little black, gnarled, crusty, dead motherfucker the fuck off your foot. Now put the razor away.
You must be crazy to pull your gun on me.
You're going to be the nine-toe having this limping this bitch in Harlem. You don't stop fucking with me. Now put the razor away.
Well, go ahead. Shoot, here it is. There it is. Shoot, quick, go ahead. Take your best shot. Oh!
God.
You didn't have to shoot that old lady in the foot, man.
Sugar, she was trying to kill me.
She wasn't trying to kill you. She was just trying to scare you.
That's bullshit. The bitch pulled a razor out and was going to cut me with it. I usually kill somebody over some shit like that. I don't even want to talk about it no more.
You whipped your ass.
Fuck you, man.
And if you hadn't had that gun, she'd still be whipping your ass.
You know, y'all laugh at the wrong shit.
Shot me in my pinky toe.
I know, man.
I'm going to put what's left of my foot in your ass. I'm going to kill him, sugar.
Please, be careful.
I'm going to kill him out.
Don't
just
kill him. Just like relax.
Move, I'm going to get up from here.
Vera, we're going to find your toe.
Oh, you
got to stop overreacting. Overreacting? Yes. Then get your old ass in the car.
Oh, man, fuck you. Next time you fight somebody, pick on somebody your own size. Get in there.
That's what Simone says every time she walks or does a floor exercise. You're going to have to learn to respect me. And if you don't like it or if you got a problem with it, I will kick your ass again. Good night.